You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Hey, okay. Psalm 91. God before me. You know, personally, I've wrestled for years over what Bible translation to study with or to read aloud and for public reading and for preaching and teaching the Word of God. And as I was telling Luann, who stepped out now, but I was telling her the other day, a week ago now, that the strangest thing happens to me sometimes when I open up my King James Version Bible. It's like all of a sudden this giant valve gets opened in heaven, while at the other end of the pipe, down here on earth, is my skull. And just picture, up here, this great big crank, and he just cranks it. Then all of a sudden, there's this mighty rush of heavenly insight from El Elyon himself directly to me. And many times, it results in what you're going to sit under. And that is a sermon. Notice I say sit under. I didn't say hear, but sit under. Because I don't want you to just hear. I want the Word of God to go right into those two ears, and I want you to hear whatever word it may be, and then do what it says. And if you do what it says, oh boy. If you do what it says, and today's a simple one. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 91. This has got to be my first Old Testament sermon in many, many years. I just, minding my own business, opening up my King James Version. It's like God's telling me he's pleased when I use a King James Version. Especially. All right, Psalm 91. I think the whole thing is on the handout as well. Now on the handout, I believe this is New King James, but reading through here in King James. Now God wants you to see today that if you set your love upon Almighty God in obedience to the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Even if you fail at that, I fail all the time. I fail at loving God with all my heart. I fail at loving my wife. I fail at loving my daughter. But a righteous man, you see, picks himself up seven times and dusts himself off and presses on, by golly. We press on. And the good news here today is you are not alone. Not by a long shot. Someone bigger than you is for you and is on your side. That's good news, isn't it? Now we're Psalm 91. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Darren's been talking a lot this morning about truth. Jesus talks a lot about truth. We're going to look some more at truth this morning. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Okay, so what does he mean? What does this mean? What does this mean today for us? Now here in this text, King David, the supposed author of Psalm 91, is referring to the most holy place inside the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. He's not saying God has feathers, but if you remember, the wings of the cherub covering over the mercy seat there and over the Ark of the Covenant, that's what it means when you see protect you with his feathers or his wings. I found this great testimony in one of my commentaries under the heading Psalm 91, My Psalm. In 1922, in the Western Hebrides, which is an island off of Scotland, a five-year-old lad lay dying of diphtheria. A mucous membrane was forming across his throat, and breathing was becoming increasingly difficult. Now, his Christian mother turned her back on him so that she would not see him take his last breath. At that very moment, there was a knock on the door, and it was her brother-in-law from an adjoining village. He said, "I have come to tell you that you don't have to worry about the child. He is going to recover, and one day God is going to save his soul." So she was distracted and incredulous. "Whatever makes you say that?" Then he explained he had been sitting at his fire reading Psalm 91 when God distinctly spoke to him through the last three verses. Now this is in Scottish Psalms. "Because on me he has set his love, I'll save and set him free. Because my great name he hath known, I will set him on high. He'll call on me, and I'll answer him. I will be with him still, in trouble to deliver him, and honor him I will. With length of days unto his mind, I will him satisfy. I also, my salvation, will cause his eyes to see." Then the testimony continues. "I was that boy. I was that boy. God delivered me from death that night. He saved my soul 13 years later. And he has satisfied me with long life." So you will understand why I, speaking of this person, why I refer to Psalm 91 as my psalm. I usually add with tongue in cheek that I am willing to share it with others. I like that. But let me add to that, that we worship the same God as this man does. And what God did for him, God will do for you as well. God is good. This is the character of God. Now back to the psalm, verse 2. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Buckler meaning a defensive weapon used to ward off the attacks and the blows of the enemy, or an enemy. And what did he say would be your shield and your buckler and your defensive weapon? His truth. The truth of God. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, when Pilate asked him if he was a king, he said, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Then Jesus said to Pilate, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Truth. The truth of God is liberating. The truth of God is freeing. Check out these truths. After each one, we'll say truth. Ready? "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Truth. That burden is not on you. Someone bigger and better than you saves you. It's not by works. It's not by how much money you put in that offering plate. It's because God is good. And he chose you before the foundation of the world to save you. And he shows you how much he loves you. He demonstrates his own love toward you. And that while you were still a groveling sinner, Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. That's how much he loves you. How about this? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Truth. You see, if you are of the truth, you'll hear his voice. If you're part of this family, you will hear this truth. How about this? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Truth. Kind of makes you want to shout, doesn't it? You know what? If that doesn't excite you, all right, something's wrong if that doesn't excite you. Let me say it. Something is wrong. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God's got your back. God's called you, chose you, marked you out in advance before he made any of this. God's got your back. This is the only psalm in the whole Bible the devil quotes from. And he is so stupid that he thinks he can misquote the Bible and deceive the Son of God. He is the Word. He wrote the book. Satan quotes this psalm because he doesn't like this. He hates this psalm. Because this psalm shows you that God has got your back. And we're going to get to all the things that God promises that he will do to you. Naturally, it's conditional. And we'll find out what it's conditional on. Here's one more. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Truth. Write it down. No matter what you do, no matter what you've done, no matter how far short you fall tomorrow, your sins have already been obliterated by the blood. Just like the song this morning, this is how I can get up here and preach to you and know God will use me because we're made clean and white by the blood of Jesus Christ. Makes me a clean vessel, and I can stand up here and know God will have no qualms to use me. All right, Psalm 91. One heading I have is in God's care. Verse 3, surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That would be what? The traps of the enemy. Satan's traps that he lays out for you, hidden in the leaves. He goes on here, and from the perilous pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you will take refuge. His truth will be your shield and your buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. All right, four things for this type of person not to fear. Number one, night terrors. Come around my house at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning and you'll see some night terrors. Horrendous fights with the enemy that I endure. She does. Pastor Darren does as well. Me and Darren got it figured out. It's on every other night. He wakes up feeling great and he prays for me because he knows down the street over there at my house there'd be some trouble going on. I think a lot of my demons must be geriatric because I get it before midnight. I wake up and I'm sweating and I'm a mess and I look, I said, good Lord, it's 11 o'clock. What are these demons doing out? It's only 11. What is like this geriatric cauldron meeting? You guys got to be home by midnight or something? Night terrors. Number two. Again, four things this type of person need not fear. Number two, stray bullets. Stray bullets. In the King James or in King David's time, it was the arrow that flies by day. God will make even the stray bullet or wandering arrow to not come nigh thy dwelling, not to come near your house. Number three, COVID. Ah, COVID. But perhaps you say, I had COVID. Doesn't God love me? Yeah, but you're still alive. And God was able to take COVID that you got and make you into a super Christian that you are now, impervious to flu and coronaviruses in the future. You see, God took something bad in your life and he turned it around for good. So that you won't be affected the next time it comes around. He can even take bad and turn it around for good. That's what he does. Or the alternative is your work here on earth is done. Like Brother Bill Whitings and Joni Allison and others that you all remember and know and love, of course. But that's a whole other thing there. Because to die and leave this world is far better. To be with Christ is far better, lest we forget. Die and leave this world is far better. People like Joni and people like Bill Whiting, they look down on us and they are the ones that feel sorry for us, not us for them. They're the ones that feel sorry. They feel sorry for you. You got to endure another day, not us. Eternal life in heaven is the goal, not just a place you end up at. It's the goal of the Christian, lest we forget heaven. Okay, what's the fourth thing not to fear? Destruction, if you're writing. Again, if you were writing, night terrors, stray bullets, COVID. It's pestilence. That's what a COVID is. Remember, that's one of Jesus' signs. Would it be the sign of your coming at the end of the world? Earthquakes, pestilences in various places. That's how you'll know his return is near, is when the whole world is full of COVID. And God says, if you do this particular thing we haven't got to yet, then he's going to watch out over you. And he's going to keep these things from you. And if you die and leave this world, then you're going to a better place. Just like them three Hebrews said, our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from this burning fiery furnace. But then they said this, but if not, even if you don't, we still won't do this. We still won't bow down and worship your false God. God will deliver us, and even if he doesn't, he's still good. His nature is good. Okay, number four was destruction. And to that I'll quote the Lord Jesus once again. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He'll keep you from that. Okay, verse 7 of Psalm 91. A thousand may fall at your side. 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Wow. Not only 1,000, but 10,000, he says, may fall. Where? Right beside you. Right beside you. But they won't reach you. You'll see it with your eyes. You'll see the reward for all of those whose life and prosperity is found in the here and now instead of the next life. Jesus said, all of those, they have their reward. Now here in verse 9, is the turning point of this psalm. And the author is assuming that you have done that which is required of you. Starts with the word because. And it says, because thou hast made. He's assuming you've done this. If you haven't done it, then this doesn't apply to you. It applies to everyone else that have. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, by the way, I think that ought to be in parentheses, right? Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, that is, because you have done this, that is, you have made El Elyon, that great Old Testament name for God, Most High, because you have made El Elyon your dwelling place, meaning this is where you live, this is where you reside, where God is your life, where you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's number one in your life. That's the great commandment of all, Jesus said. The greatest commandment in the face of this world is love God with all your heart. Put Him first. Love the Lord. I didn't say you're going to be perfect at it. But you love God first and foremost in your life. Look at these promises He's saying. Because you have done this, this is where you reside. And you reside in Christ. To better understand it, consider the opposite. The opposite of that would be in the world. You either reside in Christ or in the world. Don't call this evil world your home. You need to consider yourself just passing through, like a pilgrim. John said, do not love this world, nor the things that are in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all, this is 1 John 2:15. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust thereof. But he who does the will of God abideth forever. This evil world is passing away. But he who is in Christ. All right, verse 9 of Psalm 91. Some cause and effect. Because you have done this. This is the chain reaction of dominoes that's going to fall because of a choice that you made here. Okay? Because you have made this choice, this is what's going to happen in a place that you cannot see. This spiritual world, the spiritual realm, and up in heaven. Once you make this decision and this choice to live for the Lord, to live in Christ, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even El Elyon, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Verse 11. And how God plans on doing this extraordinary thing. He's even going to tell you how. For he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. In their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Reminds me of those cute little pictures I used to see in Christian bookstores of some angel with a bead of sweat on their face, groaning from trying to protect you all day long. Have you ever seen that? This famous picture of this little baby about to cross over a broken bridge, and there's this angel with sweat coming down their face, reaching out here, stopping this little kid from dying. These are the kind of things that he does with you and will do because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. And all these things can't hurt you. Lion, cobra, serpent. You'll trample them underfoot. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, he will personally send one of his angels to watch out over you. And again, this is the verse that the devil misquotes to Jesus. Satan hates this psalm so much, he tries to deceive the one who wrote it into what it means. We were in my office talking whether or not that's just, what level of stupid is that? It's either stupid, right, Darren, or else he was testing him to find out who he was. Because he didn't know who Jesus was. Why would you misquote the Bible to Jesus? You're not going to get very far with that, right? Of all people to misquote it to, not the one who's responsible for writing it, inspiring it at least. Three of the four Gospels, you can read that when Jesus is up on the mountaintop, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Satan tempts him with this psalm. He wants Jesus to get Psalm 91 wrong. That God's got your back. That's what it is. He wants Jesus to misunderstand that God has got his back. And God has got yours as well. When you do this, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. He will personally send one of his angels to watch out over you. And okay, lastly, and the last part of this psalm. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, because you have done this, you are hereby given the right to have pronoun trouble. As the infamous Daffy Duck would declare as he gets his face blown sideways by Elmer Fudd's shotgun. Remember, his mouth is over here and he turns it and goes, and he goes, pronoun trouble.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.